Welcome to Inspiration and Beauty, the Griffin Choral Arts Podcast. I'm Steve Mulder, Artistic Director, and I will be your host as we talk to GCA personalities past and present, listen to clips from our choral archive, and share together our love for bringing the best choral music to the community. This episode of Inspiration and Beauty is brought to you by our sponsor, Lynn Thompson of Hunter Wealth Management. At Hunter Wealth Management, we help clients pursue their investment goals with sound financial strategies. You deserve a personal tailored plan. Lasting, meaningful, and open relationships are the foundation of our practice. Our Griffin office is located at 430 South 8th Street. Check us out on our website, www.hunterwm.com. Our guest today is Jean Dukes. Jean was our second Griffin Choral Arts Board President, taking the baton from founding Board President Elaine Bolton in 2010 and serving until 2012. She and her husband Charles were board members starting in season two, and Charles sang in the bass section with GCA for several seasons. Jean and Charles lived in Barnesville and were avid supporters of the arts. My earliest memories of Jean and Charles were in the context of Lamar Arts. Their Barnesville home on Thomaston Street was a frequent hub of artistic activity, from silent auctions and other fundraisers, to receptions, to board meetings. Their home was alive with culture, history, art, and music. Jean Dukes, welcome to the Inspiration and Beauty Podcast.
I'm very flattered that you have asked me to be a part of it.
Jean, you came to the helm of the GCA board on the heels of the Armed Man Project, the collaboration with the Griffin Ballet Theater. GCA was well established in just three seasons, and our trajectory was still sloping upwards. Tell us what you remember about those early days on the GCA board and how it felt to be recruited to take over as board president.
Well, I knew from the very beginning that Griffin Choral Arts was something special, and the very first concert set the tone. As I remember, a lot of it was a cappella, most likely because there was no music, the money for the and funding for to hire the musician. But then Charles and I were invited to come on the board in season two. And at that time, we were still trying to figure things out. The beautiful GCA logo needed to be selected, and it was done by a contest with art students, with the winner getting a monetary prize. We learned a lot about performance rights. That was Bill Pash who took that project, and the more he got into it, the more he realized there were recording rights and all kind of rights. And we did learn, as he would bring back, he would report back to the board. But the more he got into it, the more there was for all, us all to learn. And my big concern was publicity. I felt like that there was no organized effort to get the word out to the communities. And at that time, our singers came from a 10-county area. Right. And like Pike County, there was just one singer, but we counted that. And so we made a list. We and this was kind of my baby, that we would send publicity to all the newspapers and to the radio stations, the regional magazines, and we would include Macon as well, and sometimes to Atlanta. And it was very time consuming. And then about that time, Elaine Krugman became your administrative assistant, and she was to be your immediate administrative assistant. But you let her take over the publicity. She's a blogger, she's a writer, she's a photographer, and very enthusiastic. And that was just wonderful. That
yeah, she was wonderful. She would would like even take brownies to the newspaper and you know, kind of grease their hands with sweets to get them to put their pieces in the paper.
But I remember you would push us just like you would stretch and push your singers. You would stretch and push the board, and a lot of that had to do with money. And I'm not being a numbers person, you would come up with these wonderful projects, but they would require extra money. And the board was very cautious, and I understood as well that our funding came from our advertisers and from our donors, and we had a responsibility to be good stewards. And so I'm sure we were a thorn in your side on many occasions. And
I very rarely heard the word no when it came to ambitious projects and
hesitancy. You know? And we were cautious. Let's say that we were cautious.
Well, that's really paid off. Looking at this season and trying to think about what we could do and not knowing how the support would be, it was really nice to have a built-up reserve. And, we could make plans knowing that we had that safety net that we had built up over the years of extra funds to cover us if we come up short with anything.
Well, and I would like to mention your programming too, which I've always been a big fan of. Your music would come from so many traditions geographically, and not only, but also historically, beginning with chant and Baroque and all the way, everything in between to contemporary and bluegrass. And one of the missions is to bring the best choral music to the community, and you certainly did that. I remember going to a Christmas concert in a neighboring town, and I went because someone was singing, and all of the music there was beautifully sung, beautifully directed, but every single piece could be hummed by everyone in the audience. And they were lovely arrangements, but I went away feeling almost empty because I know there is so much music out there, and not just Christmas, but in general. And you have certainly brought the best choral music to our community, and for that, we thank you all. We're in debt.
That's great to hear, and that's deliberate, and it's a balance. You want to give people enough familiar to make them feel good about that, but then also to have something fresh and new that stretches them a little bit. And I think over the years we've been able to introduce new things to folks. Certainly choral music that was new to them.
But I would like quickly to mention me becoming board presidents, because yeah. I want to mention some specific people. I almost got it by default. As I said, we were still trying to figure things out. So that first election was held in July before our season began in the fall. And we were told to be thinking how we could serve. And I have always felt of myself as having, highly developed organizational skills. And I thought I could be secretary. This is something I could do. I think I want to be secretary. And I remember being stunned when Alice Blake nominated Cherry Searcy. And I thought, wait, I wanted to do that. And then Charles and I were both walked away when Charles was nominated for president, and he was unable to do it at that time. And I remember Elaine Bolton looking at me and saying, "Jean." And so I really got it by default. But and then right away, Elaine went out of town. I think she had a fantastic trip, like for a month, or it seemed like 2 months, but maybe it was just a month. And we had some issues and some decisions to make. Yeah. And I'd like to say that I made them by myself, but sweet, loving, gracious, wise Lou Bowen Cloud held my hand through that first month. And I could not have. She just made it a lot easier. And Bill Pash as well, as a singer and writer of the program notes, he was a good sounding board and became a very good friend. And I'm very grateful to them during those first months.
Yeah, yeah. Jean, I asked you to do some homework prior to this interview and to choose a few selections from our GCA audio archive that were your favorites. I felt funny making that request of you because very often after concerts, you'll email me and tell me that the just completed concert is your favorite. Every time it's your new favorite. Indeed, that is the goal for me as a programmer, for the audience to leave each time and think that was the best one yet. But you were able to narrow things down a bit. So here is one of your favorites. This is the African Processional. This was the opener for our March 2009 concert entitled World Music. It was an actual processional, and soloist Adam Grubbs led the march as the singers made their way to the stage, accompanied by African drums. This was recorded at the Gordon College Fine Arts Auditorium. So we're going to listen to the last part of Jambo Rafiki.
Singing that entrance was memorable to me. I was it was at Gordon, and I was handing out programs in the doorway, and he was standing right next to me, and we exchanged some pleasantries, and I had not been to any dress rehearsals, and the lights dimmed, and he began singing, and my mouth just dropped open. It was just beautiful, and a cappella and solo, and then the drums came in, and then the singers, and it was just exciting and jubilant, and a night and a work that I will always remember.
Yes. We performed that same piece, the African Processional, again in May 2013 for a concert called Inspired by Africa. That was an unforgettable performance, and we had the composer Paul Basler with us. He was there all week long coaching us and playing French horn with us on his Missa Kenya, that extended work that he wrote. We also had a guest percussionist from Ghana with us that night, along with John Lawless and Marcus Reddick. We were again at the Fine Arts Auditorium at Gordon College, and you and Charles hosted an afterglow reception afterwards for our singers and for all our guests. Talk about that night a little bit and what you remember about all the work that went into that project.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned with John Lawless about the percussionists from Africa, and also all the work that was done, but and the welcome that was sung again.
Yeah.
But being the principal work, the most exciting thing was the Missa Kenya, and hearing the composers play the horn solo, and the interacting with the singers, it was wonderful. And he was so personable and so genuine. And afterwards, at the reception at our house, our grandson was there. He was played the French horn in his high school orchestra, and he was just so interested talking to my grandson. And he said, I have a CD. I have several CDs I want to send to you. And he took down his name and address, and he, my grandson, received in the mail two instructional horn CDs, and I thought that was such a great guy, you know.
He was so generous. He came to the dress rehearsal, or to the, I guess it was maybe the call, the warm up before the concert, and he brought gifts. He had given gifts to me and to Kathy and to several of the folks, and just so generous. He went and he had, you know, he ate in the local restaurants and talked to the local, you know, just talked to the local people, and that was an amazing week. I need to schedule him for a podcast. It'd be great to catch up with him too.
Good. Excellent. But you mentioned the reception. We had a great, lot of fun, the board members getting together, everything African we could find. And it was a great night, a celebration with the singers and the concert goers. But I did want to mention the Afterglow receptions back in the years that I was on the board. Anyway, we had one after every concert, and it was, we would put together just refreshments and some decorations, but it was a wonderful time to show our appreciation. And I think during those nights, we got to know the singers, and it made the board members kind of feel like that we were more of a part of the finished product than we weren't, than just behind the scenes. But it was a great time of coming together. And I think the board really, I know I loved those nights. I loved doing that.
Yeah, we get off of the stage and we have all this adrenaline and we're hungry. So it's a good, sure. Good time to, you know, to ride that rush of performing and to talk about it and to have some snacks. And I remember beautiful table decorations and beautiful, you know, a variety of appetizers and chocolate and all kinds of things. And we really look forward to those.
We would always have one punch bowl with water with lemon, and then another one with punch, you know, because those singers were a little parched after their performances.
Right. I remember you were kind of in charge of the punch, and Mabel Duraney used to always contribute her cheese ball spreads and lots of great traditions. Elaine would bring chocolate. Elaine Krugman would bring the chocolate.
Oh, yes. She's the chocolate lady.
All right, Jean, I'm going to play a clip from that Inspired by Africa concert. You spoke about Paul Basler and how we had talked prior to this about how he coached Kathy Garman, at the dress rehearsal to play louder. And she would play louder and he would say, no, even louder than that. And until she was literally lifting herself off of the piano bench for more power. There was so much energy on stage. So this is a clip from Paul Basler's Alleluia. And I remember this as one of the most electric moments I've ever had directing GCA. So let's listen to this. Thank you. If you are looking for financial advice, look no further than Hunter Wealth Management. Our services cover all areas of wealth management, from investment and retirement planning to risk management and estate conservation. We specialize in helping clients develop a comprehensive, cohesive financial strategy that fits their unique needs and enables them to meet both short and long-term objectives. Call Lynn Thompson, Senior Vice President, at 470-402-2800 or visit our website, www.hunterwm.com. Jean, are there any other GCA memories that you would like to share? Any people or any repertoire or any concert programs that you'd like to just mention?
Well, I would like to perhaps mention Charles coming on the board. He really enjoyed being a singer. He's always been very musical. He has a deep bass voice, a good ear for pitch, and an uncanny recollection of music. But by the time we came on the board, his voice had matured, and he felt like it was much too gravelly. That was his term. To be GCA material. And with many of the singers having extensive musical backgrounds and music degrees, Charles felt like they were just out of his league. But at the first concert of season three, the Brahms Requiem was sung. And sitting right next to me in the audience, I could hear him humming the bass part very quietly. And he had sung it some 45 years before. Wow. And it was after that I mentioned to you that, you know, I live with someone with a very lovely bass voice. And you auditioned him almost immediately. And he was thrilled to be a part of the next concert, which was the Christmas concert that year. Yeah. He loved GCA. He loved the music. He loved you. He loved the friendships, especially that of George Brown. The two of them are the taller members of the chorus, so they were always on the back row. And sometimes when a piece of work or a passage would be particularly difficult, they would mutter between themselves, and they referred to themselves as Waldorf and Statler, the two curmudgeons from the Muppet Show. So that was Charles in his time in GCA.
I talked to George last night before rehearsal and told him I was interviewing you today, and he brought up the same thing and had a big smile on his face thinking back to those times in the back row with Charles. So he's relished that memory as well.
And Charles misses him a lot. He really does. But you mentioned that every concert was my favorite, and this is so true. The Masterworks concerts were always glorious, and I loved every one of them. I couldn't see how the next concert would be any better. And the Christmas concerts were always festive and exciting. You had the Barrister Brass and the audience participation and the final selection of piece. But to highlight our fifth season, you had the vision to commission a work by David Childs. And though he was very prolific, I remember that his wife had just had a baby and she was a doctor, and his life was turned upside down, and it was coming later and later and later. And I remember we were very apprehensive, would it get here on time? But it did, and it was executed beautifully. And I remember really, really well, and I'm not good at memorizing things, but the text, the closing line was, "In a little while when I'm gone, my life will live in music after me." What a great sentiment that is. And I think this is not only true of the composers, but of you and the singers and the musicians who put it all together to bring the music to us, the concert goers. And we thank you.
Several lines of Sarah Teasdale are beautiful like that, and that sentiment was part of the choice of the text for us. And David did a wonderful job with it. He was under a lot of stress, and we learned that piece in a hurry once it got there. And I love the idea of commissioning new works, and we continue that even this past season, we commissioned a work called Hands. We had children in the area schools write poetry, and we had a poetry contest and chose a winner. And then a composer friend from Minneapolis composed a commissioned piece. We didn't get to perform it. We haven't performed it yet. We hope to do that in March of 2021. But commissioning, very, very important part of our mission, I think. So, Gene, one final clip before we go. After hearing Jumbo Rafiki and the Basler Alleluia, it's hard to find a recording to top those, but here is a rare moment of whimsy from our second concert. This is the second ever GCA concert, December 2007. Still trying to find our identity, I tried to program a holiday novelty called The Banquet Fugue by John Rutter. The words are alliterative and colorful, describing a banquet. Guzzle, 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 munch, munch, gobble, gobble, chomp, etc. And I tried to find, I thought I would have a choir clown, you know, like a class clown, someone who would like to just show a little bit. And because there's this burping solo at the end of the fugue. But closer and closer to concert time, nobody emerged to do it. So it fell to me to belch loudly into a microphone at the First Baptist Church of Griffin, all decorated beautifully with poinsettias and wreaths for Christmas, that noble setting. And after an entire evening of lovely, sacred Christmas music. So anyway, here is that moment. You mentioned this as being one of the silly things that you remember. Here's the ending of The Banquet Fugue by John Rutter.
Heard The Banquet Fugue four other times, and in three of those times that burp wasn't even included, but on the fourth one, when I heard it, it wasn't nearly as impressive as yours. But you know, it really shows, and I'm glad you included it, because it shows that you have a great sense of humor. And even though you are a serious musician and the rehearsals were serious and the board members were serious, there was also this element of fun, and you made that made it just a joy. And we thank you.
Well, thank you. Gene, one thing I remember about your time as president was your graceful demeanor in dealing with me, with the other board members and with the singers, and really with everyone you touched as on GCA's behalf in your role as the board president. We coined a phrase while you were president that GCA does things right. That was our catchphrase, GCA does things right. That applies not only to the artistic standards and ethical standards, but even to the simplest of gestures in treating each other and all our collaborators with hospitality, respect, and love. So many of the folks I have interviewed so far have spoken about the warm hospitality they feel from our group when they collaborate with us. Thank you for modeling that warmth during your time with GCA.
I'm speechless. I'm flattered. Thank you.
Gene, it was a pleasure talking to you. You have filled us with inspiration and beauty, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thank you.
We express appreciation once again to our donors and our advertisers, and especially to today's podcast sponsor, Lynn Thompson of Hunter Wealth Management. At Hunter Wealth Management, we hope you see the value of working with us to pursue your financial goals. We are here to help educate you about the basic concepts of investment planning, to help you learn more about who we are, and to give you fast, easy access to market performance and data. For a complimentary financial review, call Lynn at 470-402-2800 or visit our website, www.hunterwm.com. Thank you for listening to Inspiration and Beauty, the Griffin Choral Arts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please recommend us to your friends. contact us if you would like to be a podcast sponsor. Join us next time as we talk to another GCA personality and listen to more recordings from the archive. Griffin Choral Arts, using inspiration and beauty to create community.